Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank the choir and the congregation for singing this morning. Brad, that's awesome. Amen. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter number 20. 2 Kings and chapter number 20. And I know you've had a good week. Thank the Lord we had a good week, and the Lord was good. Had an opportunity to preach to different places and a camp meeting and at Brother Roy Rigdon's church, Edgewood Baptist Church there just right in Asheville. And thank the Lord for that privilege and for being the blessing of the Lord. I want you to pray certainly for the Highway Shepherd Ministry and for all that God's doing there. I had some wonderful phone calls on the answer machine when I got back, and two of them I just ask you to pray for. One, a dear lady, and one, a man, and they both called. They started talking, and then they became so emotional. I don't hear real well, and I didn't check the message till later last night, and so today I'll have to go back and get Regina to help me to get the phone numbers. But I prayed for them last night. I want you to pray for them. It seems that God's really done something in their life. And I pray today that God do something in your life. Amen. How many of you came to get something at the house of God today? We came to get something. God's been good to us. I tell you, I really enjoyed the music today and the piano playing. They had the piano kicked up a notch, Miss Brenda over there, and I could hear it. And it was a blessing. Thank the Lord for that beautiful playing this morning and Cabot on the base. I appreciate that. This whole month, Brad's mentioned, our emphasis is on greater witness, and we are asking you to help us to knock on 500 doors. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's no problem whatsoever. It's kind of like that old story I heard years ago about the folk during the Civil War, a little group of Confederates got surrounded by the Yankees. And for all our friends from up north, the war's over. We do love you. Amen. And thank the Lord for you. But I always have to say that for disclaimer kind of. But at any rate, during the Civil War, this small group of Confederates were circled about. And one of those young boys from the South grabbed his gun and went out. A few minutes, he came back and had about 19 Yankee soldiers captive. And they said, "What in the world you do? Where you been?" He said, "I've been out." He said, "The woods is full of them. Go out there and get you some." And so it's kind of how you look at it, you know. Can I tell you something? The woods is full around here of houses. And last Sunday morning, I brought you a message on every house. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it said, "They cease not to teach and to preach Jesus daily in the temple and in every house." And you think about every house. What a blessing it be for us to be able to knock on doors and get the gospel message to every house, some verbally, some through the printed page. And I do appreciate so much those who've come. And so you pray. Now, I'd like for you, if you will, we've got material for you. There on the front there are some announcement about Vacation Bible School, full color, a wonderful Miss Trudy's got together, and then there's a few of the cards on this side, personal invitations to the church with a plan of salvation on it, and we'll have a lot more. There's a little report card that you report, whether or not you just left material or you talked to someone on the front door if you were invited into home, and keep it a tally, and God's good. We're praying that we can knock on 500 doors. And so we're asking many of you to do that on your own during the week in your community. You live off in other areas or whatever, wherever you live. But make sure you try to get out and knock on doors for the glory of God and invite folks to the house of God. Down near the end of the month, I'd like for the young people, the teenagers, and our youth workers, I hope you'll help me. Let's get all the kids together, maybe get somebody to drive the bus, and get just a pile of the invitations to Vacation Bible School, maybe this Saturday before, have a Vacation Bible School kickoff, and let you go back. If you repeat some of these visits in some of these neighborhoods around here, it'd be all right. Take the bus, take the kids in one of these housing developments, and let them just go to door to door and invite kids to Vacation Bible School. And then we'll either take a McDonald's or bring them back here at the church and have a good time. So you think about that. I'm sure we'd get somebody to drive the bus. And if you'd like to do that on a Saturday morning, just before we start Vacation Bible School on Sunday night, the last Sunday night of this month. So you have your Bibles open to 2 Kings. How many of you found that already? Say amen. 2 Kings. And I want to look at verse chapter 20, verse number 1 to begin with this morning. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I'm interested in one little phrase in this passage of Scripture. As I was looking forward to this month, emphasizing every house, I've gone through the Bible and I've looked at the verses in the Bible that have the word house in it. Last Sunday night, I dealt with the house on the rock and the house on the sand. I was surprised, first of all, how many folk didn't know that little chorus that the kids used to sing. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock. But we dealt with that last Sunday night. But here's another passage of Scripture. I want you to look at verse 1 once again. Just the last phrase. Listen to what the Lord says. Thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God will help me today. God, give me your anointing and power. Fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. Thank you for the wonderful singing. And our Father, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, empower me now. Empty me of everything that ought not to be in me. And God, I pray you'd speak to hearts. Our Father, every person in this building will have to stand before God one day. And Father, I'll have to give an account for these next few moments of what I did and how I obeyed you. And I pray, God, for your anointing. Please take away all the flesh. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And God, I pray you'd speak to hearts. Confess, Lord, there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing of eternal consequence will take place. But Lord, you've called me. You put me in the ministry. And I pray, God, now that you'd speak to hearts. Do that which no man can do, convict of sin, righteousness, judgment, and draw them by your grace that some may be saved that are lost, and God's people helped and encouraged. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, the prophet of God is sent by the Lord to tell the king, set your house in order. You're going to die and not live. That little phrase, as I was going through and looking at the passage of Scripture, kind of got in my heart. Set your house in order. Let me just draw a couple of, just by way of introduction, of thoughts in that regard. Number one, this man is king over the nation of Israel. And you'd think if anybody had things right, it had been him. I can only imagine the demands on his time and all the responsibilities he had. And if he's got, if he's anything, he's got to be a man of order. I would think that he would have his royal military in certain order. I think that he would have his staffing around the palace in order. I would think that he'd have his house in a real disciplined order type. But God says to him, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live. That would say to me that my estimation of what real order is may not be what God is thinking. God, looking at my house and looking at your house and how it's set up and how it's ordered, may not be what God would want it to be. And there may be some changes that I would need to do and you'd need to do to line up with God, to reconcile us. He's not going to change, but we're the ones who need to change and get in line with God's approval on our homes. It says this to me as well. God not only may not look at our home in orderly fashion as we do, but God is interested in the order of our home. I'm glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you as an individual. God loves you, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. He knows you personally, and he died for you personally. He bore all of your sin personally. But God is not only interested in just you personally, but he's interested in your home. God established the home. He created Eve, created man and put him in the garden, and then he took a rib and fashioned Eve and brought it to him. And then the Word of God says this, and for this cause shall a man leave his father and wife, cleave unto his wife, and they two become one flesh. He's very much interested in the home. God's interested in your home. He wants it to be ordered properly for the benefit of those who live in there and for the glory of God and for witness to those around you. God has an interest in how your home is ordered. And then the third just general thing I draw from this is that you and I are facing imminent death. Not one person in here feels like you're going to die today. Not one person in here feels like you'll die tomorrow. In fact, James said, people say today or tomorrow or next year or whatever, we'll do this, that, or the other. But he said, who knows what a day holds? You got to live your life as if this might be your last day. And every man will die. Every woman will die. It's appointed a man wants to die. When will you die? Well, the truth of the matter is we ought to live in light of the fact that we're going to face God at any moment. His coming is imminent, and he might come at any time. And you and I need to be responsible. He said to Hezekiah, you're going to die and not live. Set your house in order. And it's time for us to think about the order of our home and what goes on in our house. Now, with that said, I've got four or five little things I want to share with you this morning in that regard. You say, Brother Billy, what about our home? We have a dysfunctional home, or we have this kind of home. I went through the Bible. There are all kind of homes mentioned in the Bible. They're goodly homes. There are all kind of homes mentioned in the Bible, and they're homes that are made up of just a widow woman and her son. That's a home. And God sent the prophet by to see them. And Paul and Peter visited that type of home. That's a home. It may be that you have a full family. You have a wife, a husband, a wife, and a lot of children. You may be in later years and it's just a man and his wife. But you have a home. But God's interested in your home. And I think the things I share with you now will be important to whatever kind of home you have. And let's see what it says in the Word of God once again. And the Lord said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Everybody in here needs to answer that question. Is my house in order? Set thy house in order. When you hear that statement, the first thing you think about is finances or that type of thing. Set your house in order. The Lord's saying to him he's going to die, and so you need to make sure you've got all of your finances straight. That's kind of how we think. You're going to die, so you got to make sure that your wife is going to be taken care of. Your children are going to be taken up. Those type of things. Set your house in order. All of those things, inheritances and the will and all those things. Got to make sure all that's right because you're going to die. But set your house in order is not just for those who are going to die and they know they're going to die, but it is for every one of us to set our house in order. Number one, to set your house in order, it must be according to God's priority. What is God's priority? And when you think about setting your house in order, what is the priority of order? What is the first thing? Is the first thing your finances? Is the first thing your will? No, the truth of the matter is we ought to consider spiritual things first and then the other. If you knew you're going to die, while you would have concern about your family and everything else, you'd want to know for sure that if you were saved, that if you died, you're going to go to heaven. You're concerned about that. I don't know, over these 50 years of preaching, how many times people have called me or some family members called me of somebody who has been given a diagnosis and they don't have long to live and they're concerned about them. They want to make sure they're saved. And the individual have called me before. And they say, Brother Bill, I want to make sure there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. I want to make sure everything's right. My dear friend, you and I don't have to wait till we get that prognosis of death or the warning of death or the notification of death. Our priority ought to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. How is your house ordered in regard to spiritual things? Is it a priority in your home? Is spiritual things a priority in your home? How about in so far as your family activities? Is church a priority? Are the things to deal with the Lord, are they priority? what is the most important thing? I've heard some of the older Christians, and I'm sure some of the younger people could testify this. When I was a boy growing up or girl growing up, we didn't have to wonder if we were going to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That was a priority. That's what we did. How important is that priority in your life? If today you have a problem physically and you go to Wake Med and they diagnose you, that they tell you you got just a month to live, I wonder, would you be planning vacations, or would you make sure that you'd have every opportunity to be in the house of God between now and then? Whenever the Twin Towers fell, churches in America filled up, because when there's that type of terrorist threat and the fact that we might plunge into war at any minute, people didn't spend their time with their calendar planning vacations. They made their way to the house of God. And impending death and destruction always helps us to set right priorities. What is the first priority? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You have spiritual things first. In regard to the welfare of your children, what's the first thing? It ought to be, priority ought to be this. I want to make sure they're saved. I want to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Do I want them to learn to be disciplined? Yes. Do I want them to learn to be polite? Yes. Do I want them to have a good education and have their needs met? Yes. But first thing is to know that that boy and girl have a clear understanding of the gospel. They've seen a wonderful display of that gospel in the home. And the first priority is that my children know that Christ is real. Heaven's real, hell's real, and that they know Christ and know that they're going to go to heaven. That's the top priority. And my dear friend, when you set your house in order, you need to reevaluate, because sometimes we lose perspective of what's really, really important in regard to priority. Second thing is this, and I could go on, but I just quickly remind you, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the priority. The second thing is not only in regard to priority, but when you set your house in order, it has to do with proper order biblically. Turn over in your Bible, please, if you would, and in regard to the order of the family in the book of Ephesians. I read this. I share it with those who are going to be getting married, and then I read it a few Sundays ago. But when you think about setting your house in order, your house ought to be set up and organized the way God would have it to be. And you're going to have that type of biblical order. In the book of Philippians, in chapter number 5, I got so many things stuck in my Bible. And the chapter number 5, I call your attention to this. I'd love to read the whole chapter, but I don't think I'm going to take time to do that. But I want you to look at chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let not be once named among you as become the saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, I leave off the reading there because I want to jump over. If you will, jump over there, verse number 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I skip down to chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the face of the earth. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I leave off the reading there. But in order for our house to be ordered properly, it has to be organized in the order of God. How's that? The husband's the head of the wife. He's the head of the house. The wife's to be subject to her own husband. Children are to be obedient. The love of Christ is to be demonstrated in that home. There ought to be love one for another, submitting one to another. There ought to be a wonderful spirit of worship in that home. If you're going to have a home ordered right, don't wait till you're going to die to do it. Do it now. That husband ought to be the spiritual leader of that family. So many families, the wife is the spiritual leader of that family. She's the one who takes the responsibility. She has to get her husband, encourage him to go to church. But that husband ought to take that spiritual leadership. He ought to be the spiritual leader in getting to the house of God. He ought to be the leader of that home in regard to finances and everything else. And the family works together as a family unit. Love's demonstrated. They submit themselves one to another. But God has an order. And that husband and the wife is to be subject to her husband. Children will be subject to the mom and dad. That's God's order. God ordained that. Nothing wrong with that. That's a blessing. Well, that's not our thinking now, people say. You know, women, they have equal rights and so on. They do have equal rights. And the Bible said, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I'll tell you, if a man loves his wife and loves his children like Christ loved the church, they don't have any trouble submitting to him. They don't have any trouble trusting his direction and his wisdom. But that's how God ordered it, that a husband would be the head of the home and head of the family, and the wife and the children are subject to him. But there's a family unit where there's love, submitting to one another, speaking to themselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual song. And wives are subject to their husband, but husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's proper order. This business of everybody doing their own thing, living in the same house but not ever having a family. I mean, the fact that they don't spend time together. They don't love one another. They don't do things together. Husband goes one way. Wife goes the other thing. They all do their own thing. God intended for that family to be a close-knit unit, for the husband to be the head of the family, leader of that home, the wife to be the heart of that family, and demonstrated love and submission to Christ, children to be obedient to their parents. That's God's order. Now, if Jesus came today and he was looking at you, and if he says to you what he said to Hezekiah through Isaiah, set your house in order, how does your home measure up? If you had to answer not only personally for what you do, but so far as how your house is organized, so far as that daddy taking responsibility to be the leader in spiritual things in that home, would God look at you and said you've been a good pastor of your home? You've been a good spiritual leader in your home. You've read the Word of God for them and in front of them. You've prayed in front of them. You've explained to them that you trust God, walk with God. They've saw in your life a submission to the Holy Ghost of God in everything. They've seen your passion for souls when you're out in public. They've seen you come to the house of God and worship God. And when you get back home, you don't talk about everybody at church and you don't run down the church or the preacher or the choir. Have they seen that in you as a daddy? Well, when you stand before God, God's going to check that out. How you were in a so far as your home. Wives, when you stand before the Lord, not whether or not just that you're saved or that you love the Lord, how about your submission to your husband? How about you loving him and praying for him? How about your being supportive of him and encouraging him? How about you looking to him and sometime even bow your own will to allow him to obey God? And children, people say, well, I'm going to do, you know, kid's going to do my own thing. I don't have to do what mom and daddy says. I'm my own man. I'm my own girl. I can do every bit of that. Yeah, but if you die, God holds you accountable whether or not you're saved or not. But he's going to hold you accountable whether or not you were submissive to mom and to dad, whether or not you honored them with your life. You have to give an account of that to God. Set your house in order. I don't care how much time you spend in youth group, how much time you spend in Christian camps. God's going to hold you accountable whether or not you were submissive to your mom and dad and you were obedient to them and you honored them. That's a priority with God. and God holds you accountable for that. Set your house in order. I want to do something for God. Here's what you do. You love your mom and dad. You obey them. You do what God have you to do. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Husbands, you lead that home with spiritual leadership. Notice something else. Not only the priority, not only the proper order, but our home must be to be set in order. There must be a priority of purity in that home. Don't let anything come in that house that will defile. Don't let anything come in that house that will make unclean. It's a matter of purity. Purity of thought, purity of life, purity of speech. Don't let any filth of communication proceed out of your mouth. The children hear and they remember things, remember so much. I was looking at a picture of myself in my little office, that house last night. I was just a little fella. I was holding a fish. Can you imagine that? I was holding a fish. I don't know how long ago that was. It was so many years ago. I remember exactly what I said when I came back up to the house. I was by myself. I rode my bicycle over to Runt Rapids Lake, and I was throwing a frog-colored jitterbug. I was just a little fella. I'm telling you, back then, you're 10 years old. You could ramble. You stay gone all day and get back home just time to eat supper at night. But I remember I was throwing a frog-colored jitterbug. I can remember the tree where I throwed it at. It's laying in the water down in that Runt Rapids Lake. And when it came right around the end of that tree, it hit it and I caught it. I remember exactly what I said when I came in the yard. I remember exactly what my daddy said when I came in the yard. And I said all that to say this, Daddy, those kids remember every word you say. Every time you've spoken harshly to your wife, every time you've been critical of other people, every time you slipped up and said a profanity or you said something that was off color, they remember every bit of it. You set your house in order with your speech. You be careful what you say in front of those kids. Be careful what you say anywhere. God holds you accountable not on what people hear, but of every idle word. You set your house in order. You put a guard on your lips and what you say, purity of speech, purity of life. You live a pure life. You live a life that honors God. Teach those kids that the Bible said if we confess our sin. When you do things and say things that are unkind or do things that's wrong, you don't be afraid to tell that family that I'm sorry. Tell that wife I'm sorry. And ask God to forgive you. Let them hear you pray. God, forgive me. You made a promise. If I confess my sin, you're faithful just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God's priority of setting your house in order has to do with purity. Purity of speech, purity of heart, purity of life. Purity of your lifestyle. Don't live a lifestyle contrary to what you say you believe. That would include anything to do with pornography, anything that's like that, anything you see on television, anything else, that you live a life of purity in front of your kids and keep it pure for them. God set your house in order has to do with purity. To set your house in order not only has to do with your priorities and with a proper order and with purity, but it has to do with protection. You set your house in order has to do with you protecting that domain of yours, that house. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days there be false teachers who slip in into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 11, it says that they would come and they would subvert whole households. The devil, if God honors the home, God established the home. God wants that home to be reflected of Him and His relationship with Christ. Then the devil's going to attack it in every way he can. And if you're going to set your house in order, there has to be some parameters. There has to be some type of protection set up. There has to be some guides on what's listened to in the home, what's watched in the home, what you allow in your home, anything that would defile, anything that would corrupt, anything that would cause people not to honor God. And protecting your home is one of God's priorities for getting your house in order. What do you do? What do you let in your house? What do you allow to go on in your home? It may include not only what we'd consider pornography or wicked stuff on television or anything like that. These emphases here in 2 Timothy and Titus are of a religious nature. And that is that they allowed things into their home that would pervert the gospel, that wouldn't be gospel truth. There's a lot of things religious on television and radio and everything else that you have to protect your home from. Sometimes kids see things and they hear things that are not true to the Bible, but they are supposed to be Christians. And they are teaching things contrary to the Word of God. And the Bible said in the book of Titus that they do that, they subvert whole household for filthy lucre. They do it for money. They teach false doctrine for money, whatever people hear. You know, it's a wonderful thing to God said He gave us the fullness of joy. But if you're in a religious situation, I hear of people going into certain religious situations and they say because the kids like it. Kids like Disney World. Kids like Six Flags. Kids like all those things. I'm not saying anything wrong with those, but I'm just saying there's certain religious situations that's a feel-good type religion that never says anything about the fact that they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved, that Jesus shed His blood that they might be saved, born again by the grace of God. And you have to protect your children and protect that home from false teaching that perverts the gospel. And they preach another gospel. Not a gospel of repentance, not a gospel of salvation by grace through faith, not a salvation that we are lost sinners, that we're all, and the law has condemned every one of us. God's condemned every one of us according to the law, and that we need to be born again by the grace of God. It's not just a matter, you got to protect your children against false teaching as well as the other things of the world. I hasten to be through this morning. You've listened well, either you're asleep one another. Everybody's not asleep, say amen. Amen. Good, half a dozen at least. If you're going to set your house in order, you've got to do it God's priority. Eternal, that is the spiritual things. You've got to do it according to God's order. Husband's head of the wife, wife's to be subject, children to be obedient. Then, not only that, in regard to purity, you have to set your house in order. Have it nothing in there to defile individually, in your lips, in your heart, in your life, in whatever you allow in the home. Protection is a matter of setting your house in order. Protect it. Not one of you would build a house and not put any locks on the windows or locks on the door because there are certain things out there that you don't want out in your home. And if you're going to set your house in order, you have to be protective of what you let come in that home via the media or any other way. But then the last thing is this, if you're going to set your house in order, you have to have a proper perspective of things. Not only a priority, but a perspective. What do you mean by that? Lives change on one word, cancer. When a person hears that word, their whole perspective on life changes. Just one word, cancer. Cancer. And if you're going to have your house in order, it has to be with the right perspective. What is that perspective? It is, as I said a while ago, this perspective, not temporal, but eternal. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. A home that's properly ordered is a home that lives in light of eternity. And they speak not in terms of tomorrow or the next day all the time, but they have in light always this perspective forever. The decision I make today, I will not sacrifice the future on the altar of expediency. I'm not going to do something today just because it feels good. Amen. Because I'm going to live for eternity. I'm going to I'll have to do, live with what my decision is made, not for this week or next week, but for eternity. And if you set your house in order, your children are trained and you're trained to live in light of eternity. One day, we'll have to stand before Him. One day, we'll all have to give an account. But you live in light as well as this. Not only perspective of eternity, but the reality of the shortness of life. Life's a vapor, James said. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. I live my life like that. That means I hug my kids every day. It means I tell my wife I love her every opportunity I have. I have this perspective. Life is short. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to do what I'm going to do for God now. That's my perspective. I'm going to be obedient to Him. I'm going to be a blessing to others. I'm not going to wait till next week or tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. Because Jesus said, in a little while, you'll see me no more. But in a little while, you'll see me again. I live my life with this perspective of eternity. I live my life with this perspective that life is short, but I live my life with this perspective. Jesus could come today. Living in light of His return. He's coming again. That is a message of hope to us. It's a message that regardless of what I'm going through today, whether it's cancer or whatever it is, Jesus is coming again. In regard to eternity, this is a short thing. It won't last long. It'll be over with. And Jesus could come in the next moment and it'd be over with. I'd be out of here. We'd be never sick again, never have another pain, never have another sorrow. And we'd be out of here. When you set your house in order, you live with a different perspective. Eternity, that life is short, but Jesus is coming very soon. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Set your house in order. Can I ask you a question? How does your home measure up? How does your home measure up? Set your house in order. In order. You say, well, preacher, I'm a teenager. I can't do anything about my home. You can do what you're supposed to do in the home. You can honor your father and mother. You can be obedient to your father and mother. You can speak to yourself, psalm, hymn, spiritual songs. I read that to you. You can live a life of purity. You can live your life with right priorities. You can be an example to your mom and dad. Wife says, preacher, my husband's not saved. He doesn't know God. And I don't know, how can I have a right ordered home? You can't do anything about that. Can I tell you something? God's going to hold him accountable. It's a horrible thing to die and be lost as a daddy or as a husband and be in hell. But to think that also that God holds you accountable for the rearing of those children and whether you loved your wife or not. And that wife, you can love your husband. Paul talked about a wife who has an unbelieving husband and that she still lives her life and orders her life like the Bible says, that she loves her husband, she submits to her husband, she loves her children, she lives a prayer life in front of him, a life of devotion, and she lives a life to honor God. That daddy, you have responsibility to order that house. Is your house in order? I don't know of a person here, preacher included, that doesn't need God to speak to our heart and to remind us, whisper in our ear, set your house in order. You will die and not live. I don't know what God spoke to your heart about. I do know God spoke to my heart about this message. Let's stand together with heads bowed. We're going to have just a brief invitation this morning. I don't know what you need to do. But whatever you need to do, it needs to be between you and God because He's the one. The Lord said this to Hezekiah, set thy house in order. It's the Lord who said that. And if you heard anything at all this morning, you heard God speak to your heart. And I invite you this morning to come as families around this altar to set your house in order. Husband to love their wives as Christ loved the church and died for it. Have an order of priority in your home. What's the most important thing in your life? Most important thing in your home, is it making a living, making money? Is it sports, activity? Nothing wrong with none of those. We're obligated to do these. If a man doesn't work, provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. He's given us freely all things to enjoy. That means the rivers, the creeks, the state parks, and everything else. God gave us all of that to enjoy. But it's a matter of priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you're going to order your home right, you need to put God right in the right perspective. Maybe some of you kind of let some of that slip. Church is not a priority. The Lord's not a priority. You need to come and get around this altar and just rededicate your life to the Lord. Rededicate your home to the Lord. Surrender to him. Whatever God have you to do. Many around the altar, already God speaking to hearts. Thank the Lord for that. Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. And I want God to speak to my heart. I don't want to die lost. I want to be saved. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, you say, Preacher, will you pray for me? If I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven. And I want to know for sure that I'm saved before it's too late. And I just ask you to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or try to come to you. I want to pray. You raise your hand in the building this morning and say, Preacher, if I died now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody in here like that this morning? Anybody like that? In the years that I've talked with people, many of who were facing death, never had one of them who said, Preacher, I wish I didn't go to, wish I hadn't gone to church as much. I wish I hadn't given so much to missions or given the Lord my tithe. Not one of them. Not one of them. They have no regrets about being faithful to the house of God, no regrets about their faithful giving. But many have said, I wish I'd have done more. I wish I'd have been more faithful to the house of God. I wish I'd done this because they didn't have the right priority. They didn't have their family organized right. First things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for these men who've come around the altar, those who are here today. God, we do ask your blessing. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to speak to hearts. God, I want my home to be right. I pray, God, you'd help me to be a good husband, a good father, a good grandfather, and be a godly example to my children, my grandchildren, to my wife. I pray, God, that you'd bless all of our homes. And God, we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name.